The Dana Show.
It's your living Daria, Dana Lash here with you. I'm serving. Welcome to the show, everyone. It is I, your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash. And don't forget, you can watch us on X, Rumbles, where the chat is. Channel 3047 DirecTV, also at Substack, Chapter and Verse. If you turn away a migrant, it is a grave sin, saith the Popeth. That is new. It is new. It's all over everywhere. It was, he said, working to turn migrants away from peace and security in a new country is a grave sin, he said. Okay. That's the sin. So countries with laws have sins. I mean, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. But that might be a sin. I mean, it's only in the Bible and all. Yes, he says if you are rejecting migrants and you're blocking their routes, it is a grave sin. This was part of his address, his weekly address on Wednesday. And I think he was in the Vatican when he said this. So are we sending them all to the Vatican now? Is that what it is? I mean, let's just put it to the test, right?
Yeah.
He said, quote, working to turn migrants away from the prospect of peace and security in a new country is a grave sin. It needs to be said clearly. There are those who systematically work by all means to drive away migrants. And this, when done knowingly and deliberately, is a grave sin. He was in St. Peter Square, which you got to go through a lot of security to get into, by the way. I mean, you have to go through a ton of security to get into the Vatican and to go see all the beautiful artwork that's in there. You know, they lopped off all the statues' male copulatory organs because it was considered. So they got a room full of like statue dong somewhere, I would imagine. I'm just saying. What? I'm talking about art, Kane. I just don't know why. The expectation of following law when entering a sovereign nation is a sin. This is what I'm talking about. This is what is angering me to the nth degree. And I keep seeing it popping up in churches, and this Pope is no exception. This is wrong, by the way. I mean, follow the law. If you're not following the law, is that not a sin? Is that not also a sin if you're not following the law? If you are breaking into someone's home, is that not a sin if you're breaking into another country? Is that not a sin?
Sounds like it.
The way that these people present it, and I feel like some, and especially there are a lot of church leaders out there, and I haven't turned away from my faith at all. And I'm not going to stop going to church, but we're in the process of determining whether or not we're staying at our church or we're leaving. We didn't go last Sunday. We didn't attend it because I didn't really appreciate, you know, a church leader telling people that they wanted a safe and fair border. And I don't even know what that means. What do you mean a fair border? Why don't you just say something smart like, let's have, lawful, orderly crossings. Let's just do that. And, you know, when I look at what this Pope is saying, it's not unlike what, you know, my pastor was saying a couple of weeks ago. And my pastor didn't go so far as to say it was a sin. But he walked right up to the line. He was right there, toes to the line. If you turn away people who are coming at the border, it's a sin. Well, I've been to the border. I've been to the border several times. I've been down there to the processing centers. I've toured them. I have been down there at the Bank of the Rio looking at the shell casings from when cartels were firing 50 cals at our border agents. I went and I saw the photos of children who had been dumped on the banks of the Rio and rescued by Border Patrol because the loopholes, the Flores Agreement Amendment, all of that exploited by the cartels to fast track people who are able to get a part of that rent-a-kit operation. I've seen all of the stuff, all of the horrors that this creates. All of the rumors that you've heard about the border are true. It's horrifying. And the innocent people who live in these border communities that are predominantly Hispanic, they're preyed upon. So I've just noticed that these religious leaders, all the people who say this, they're all white religious leaders. And I kind of question what they did in their youth. I called up one very well known. I don't want to put him on blast, although I think I have written about it. I did write about it in my book, Grace Canceled. But I called up one very well known religious leader who had, during lockdown, conducted a Sunday service in their parking lot when they couldn't go indoors, and they bent the, they had did the whole bend the knee thing. And I called him and I said, I'm curious as to your angle here. And he was clearly taken aback, and he was like, well, I don't understand what you mean. And he was very nice. And I feel in some respects like he felt like he was doing it out of the goodness of his heart in a way. And he was saying, well, you know, when I grew up in East Texas, I saw a lot of very different things. And he's old enough to be my father. And I said, look, I go, you need to understand something. When my generation was growing up, and very specifically me, I didn't have this racial animosity that you all talk about. I didn't see it. It was not a part of our lives. And it wasn't because we didn't see it or didn't know what it was. Everybody was friends. We were all friends. Black and white and Asian. Everybody went to everybody's houses until the Marxists realized that maybe, just maybe, they would have a better advantage using things like culture and different sexual orientations as the wedge, more so than socioeconomic statuses. And that's what they pivoted to. And then all of a sudden, there was all of this animosity where there had not been animosity before. There were hard feelings and lines drawn. And it had not been like that when we grew up. And I was telling this very famous pastor, I said, why are you trying to yoke younger generations to your moral failings? Your generations or your specifically moral failings? If you've done something in your life, why should I or anyone else have to be yoked to it? I go, as a shepherd, you're building resentment in the hearts of your flock. Do you not see this? And you're creating a hurdle to worship. It really made me angry. And as a mother, it enraged me. To have my kids sit there during Sunday service and be told that if they didn't want a free-for-all at the border, then they were somehow sinful, intimating that they were sinful? Aren't you bearing false witness upon their characters, preachers? If you don't want to turn people away from organized religion, then stop doing the devil's work. It's sad and it's infuriating. I know our churches are under attack. And I know that pastors are fallible people. I know this. But you work against the devil, not with him, when you're talking about these things from the pulpit. And if you don't know it enough, then don't bring it up at the pulpit. I've literally sat there in church service before, and I heard my pastor talk about how more black people are shot by cops every year than white people. I'm like, that's actually a lie. I can tell where you go when you get your information for your sermons without even you telling me. I know where you go. I wrote an email and I had receipts from the DOJ, from the FBI, local law enforcement from around the country. You can even divide it up in regions. It's just absolutely factually incorrect, which, by the way, was my only beef with everybody taking a knee with the NFL. I don't mind peaceful protest. My problem was they were doing it based on a lie. That was all my only objection. And when I heard my pastor, and I know it's a lie because I've looked at the numbers. They're available on this thing called the internet that the good Lord gave us to use as a tool. I mean, enough people use the internet to go and lecture about what they think the facts are, but not enough of them actually use it to go and look at what the facts are. I sent all this stuff in an email, and that's when I got like one little response back, like, oh, well, thank you, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have grace. And I'm having grace by not name checking. And I have said things privately, and we have made overtures, and we have reached out and done all of this stuff. And I'm just, it's, you know, and to see the Pope say this, I'm not a fan of the Pope because I think he's a socialist. And I think socialism is antithetical to Christianity. Because socialism denies you free will. Why do tyrants think that they're holier than God? God gives you free will. Socialists don't. And to see someone say, oh, well, you know, if you're turning away people at the border, that's a grave sin. To expect security and lawful entry, it's a grave sin. Okay, well then stop turning people away from the Vatican if they don't have proper ID. Stop turning people away from the Vatican if they don't want to have their bags checked. Stop turning people away from the Vatican if their shoulders aren't covered or their knees aren't covered. How about that? Stop turning away people at the Vatican. That's a sin. I mean, we can do this all day. Someone else's political issue, they think someone has a political issue and they think they mistake that as somebody else's sin if they don't agree with them. That's where we're going to. I want you to realize that. They're trying to emotionally blackmail Christians by thinking that if you disagree with them, you are committing a grave sin. If you are not in lockstep with Marxist ideology, then you are creating a great sin. If you do not believe in lawlessness and disorder, then you are creating a great sin. There have been a lot of people all throughout the centuries who wear the robes and they carry the cross and they sell the books on the good book and they stand up at the pulpit and they say a lot of great things in the name of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what, even the devil can cite scripture. Ye workers of iniquity, I never knew thee. So I'm getting real tired of this stuff. Getting really tired of it. And it's not one denomination or another. It's all of them. It is poor representation. Shepherds, do your jobs. You have a higher penalty according to the New Testament. Don't mislead. Don't misrepresent. I get it why some people in church are so terrified to talk about politics. You shouldn't be. If you are doing your best to speak fact and truth, I've always said, show me the fact, and if I am incorrect, I will modify my position. I'm not a zealot for lies. But I'm telling you, this is what's tearing down the church, stuff like this. And here's the thing. There are people who are not even political who don't want to see pastors talk about this stuff because it gets to say, oh, I want a safe and fair border. What does it even mean? How about I want lawfulness and order? Because that does provide safety. And it creates safety for everybody involved. And that is what is truly fair. There's nothing wrong in saying that. I'm still not even done with this issue, but that's what was said in St. Peter's Square today. And probably in some of your churches this Sunday. And again, it's not one denomination or another. I know our church is under attack, but the shepherds have to be able to hear.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So an entire town was put under nighttime lockdown as a disabling horse virus that kills 1 in 3 has run rampant. This is one of the craziest stories that I've ever read. It's actually a half a dozen communities that have been designated as higher critical risk for this illness. There was a guy who tested positive for it earlier this month. Eastern equine encephalitis. It is rare, but a potentially deadly virus that was first identified in horses. And so it's called EEE or triple E. It can be spread to people by mosquitoes. Again, why do we have them? It can be spread to people by mosquitoes. The CDC says about 30% of those who are infected, it is a fatality. They said 10 counties in Massachusetts were placed on high alert. And there was a guy in his 80s. It sounds like, you know, if you're older or if you, again, you got immunity issues. But it's in Massachusetts. That's where they were looking at it at this point. Ooh. New York City is spraying pesticides to help prevent the spread of mosquitoes and potential diseases. I'm totally fine with pesticides, Kane. Yeah. Love
they
pesticides.
They just need to stop throwing mosquitoes on top of us. That's what they need to stop doing.
I mean, why do we have them? All of the things that science looks at, like, I don't need to study why. I don't need to study lesbian obesities or what happens if you give squirrels crack. I don't need that. What I need is, why do we have mosquitoes? Kill them all. They don't. Can anybody prove to me why they are required? No, you can't. So New York City is increasing pesticides. Increased sausage demand could be a worrying signal in the economy. Kane thinks that they're pushing this sausage story because they can grind anything into it and say that it's meat and convincing us that there's a demand for it. And that's Kane's tinfoil hat moment. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can also stream the obviously. You know the way. Clearly you're listening somehow. I'm like, hi, you're watching Channel 357, DirecTV, or you're streaming us online or listening to us terrestrially around the country. I want to play this audio soundbite from The View. Can I just do real quick a public service announcement to content creators? Quit betting crappy music into your soundbites, because you make it really difficult for people who are in podcasting and people who stream on YouTube and Rumble. We get cited copyright citations every damn time. And then we end up having to cut your stuff. So you can't collaborate with anybody. You can't earn revenue on your clip. You can't do any of that. So stop doing it. Unless you played it and put it on there, stop it. Because most of the time, it's horrible music. It's horribly mixed because it muddies the listenings. It makes it harder for people to hear the actual soundbite. And it has nothing to do with the clip. Stop it. All right. That said, I want to play this audio soundbite of The View, where they are talking about how you maybe, if you're a Democrat or whatever, don't go visit your Trump voting family for the holidays. Listen to this nonsense.
Children, would you, yeah, if it meant not seeing
I appreciate children? The voters, but I will say, somebody who tells me that my child is wrong, yeah, because of how he or she feels, that tells me that they shouldn't be allowed to be who they are with my permission, I have to question it. I don't want to put my kid in that position.
Exactly.
I don't want to put my gay child in a position where she has to sit with someone who doesn't understand her and feels like it's okay to just blurt all that out. That's just me. But I feel like that with mixed families, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know, there are certain things where you don't have to put your family in the middle of it. You can have dinner at another point.
Oh my gosh,
it might
the music's
not be
killing
the time
my soul
to gather,
almost as much
you know
as Whoopi is.
There's going to be some tension. That's what I'm saying.
So this is them. They're saying, I mean, this is why they lost. First off, they lost because of this stuff. This is just so stupid. It's nonsense. Why? What do they think he's going to go out and like attack gay people? He had Rich Grinnell in his cabinet last time around. And I think he's considering him again. So what's this? I don't understand what they're making this up. Can you imagine living in a world where you just fabricate an argument out of the ether for yourself to argue about because you don't have anything else? It's exactly what they're doing here. So Steve goes, good news, I just Shazammed it and it's not copyright music. Well, thank the heavens. But still, why have the music in there, right? What did that do? Did that add anything to it for you? And right in the middle of it too. Stop it. But this idea that you can't reconcile with people because of who they voted for, I know what this is like because I deal with this with my own family. I had a portion of my family completely excommunicate me. And this was actually before Parkland, right? When I've always been a two-way person, but I guess right when my advocacy some years back began, I guess, ascending to a national level or whatever. And it made, because some of my family, a portion of them, and I'm not going to name names unless they try me, but are very, 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 very Marxist left. And that is not an exaggeration. Like when you think that the government doesn't do enough for you, when you think the government should control everything, when you think everyone should be disarmed, when you think that there should be a standard living wage, it's a Marxism. They're Marxists. And everything was completely fine. And we could all coexist so long as they got to say what they said and I just shut up. Everyone was fine. And then people are like, well, you changed. I didn't change. You just pulled your head out of your ass and started actually paying attention to other people other than self-aggrandizing all the time instead of navel gazing, instead of obsessing over yourself, you came up for air for 1 second and started paying attention to what other people in your immediate circle felt and believed. And by the way, I always had these feelings. I always believed what I believed. I just didn't browbeat people over it. But that wasn't good enough. If your family disinvites you from the holidays, F them. Oh, it's not a nice thing to say. And that's why I said it. Because sometimes people need to just get told. Screw them. Screw them. Screw them, family. If they're going to disinvite you, hell no. You know what? As you get older, you learn how you got to cut some of that dead weight off anyway, right? You just move on. Because doors will open and better people will come. I know exactly what that's like because it's happened to me. I've literally been disinvited. Not just me, my children were disinvited. Like, I wasn't the only one who was excommunicated. Like, my children were excommunicated, which I thought was petty and ridiculous. And so that's all right. Go ahead and do it because you just confirmed to me what I kind of suspected anyway. That's all right. I don't need that. I don't want to be around that anyway. But these people that do that, what the hell is wrong with you? Don't sit here and act like you're wholesome or that you value people because you reduce everyone down to political ideology. Just as they get so mad at what they perceive to be misogynist or sexist, that's its own sort of version of misogyny. Because you're instead of using the variable of sex, you're using a political ideology. Your rights, because someone believes differently from you on how government should be instructed and implemented, doesn't mean that they hate you and that they're trying to kill. And if you honestly believe that, you have mental issues. And this is one of the reasons why we need to have nationwide asylums and you need to go in one. Because you're too stupid to function peacefully in a general population. I'm just so tired of it. And the idea for like, oh, racially mixing. The only people promoting this are the left. The only people who say this over and over again are the left. The most racist people I have ever met in my life have been on the left. I was raised in a family of Democrats. I can say that with 100% certainty. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've watched it. That's how I was raised. Every time, without exception, the most sexist treatment I've ever received has been at the hands of the left. I've never had a man on the right, even when he disagreed with me, even if he's being a jackass on social media, never had a man on the right like put me down and act like, oh, can I just speak to your boss, woman? But I have had Eric Swalwell tell me that verbatim. I've had other Democrats tell me that. This is a fantasy that they've constructed to give themselves a pass on their own bigotry, their own sexism, their own racism, their own xenophobia, their own misogyny. Everything that they accuse everyone else of is just projected blame because they're trying to get rid of it. They exercise their culpability and accountability by accusing others of doing what they've done. I don't know what kind of self-help tactic that is, but it's clearly not working. It's like when Justine Bateman was making her remarks, and I don't know if she's conservative or not. How crazy is this? I want you to think about this for a moment. How wild is it that you don't actually know if someone's a conservative or a Democrat because what they're saying is just practical common sense, right? But the left has gone so far left that to just exhibit common sense or any level of practicality is considered to be right wing. Think about it for a moment. I bring this up because Justine Bateman on X was talking about, the video critiques that she was doing. And someone commented to her about her brother, Jason Bateman, who was in Ozark and all this. Justine Bateman, if you're unfamiliar, she was made famous first on Family Ties. She's an actress. And now she's behind the camera. She's incredibly witty. I don't know what, I really don't care what her politics are. She just doesn't seem like a jackwagon. And that's what matters to me. And someone remarked to her, oh, something about her brother would be disappointed or something. And then someone else said, well, your brother's a big lefty. So you should disinvite him to something or other. I forget how they put it. And she was saying, my brother's my brother and I love him. And what he believes politically is of no consequence to me. And she was like, we're family. And I'm like, that's how it should be. You're family. That's how it should be. And when you're family, you don't go at each other publicly. You don't leak to the press. You don't give quotes to the press. You know, you don't smack talk your family to the community. I unfortunately can't say that I've enjoyed any of that courteous treatment. And I applaud her for standing up to it and saying, no, I'm not doing this. Because I feel the same way. Until you come at me. But I feel the same way. You don't turn on people over politics like this. The crazy thing is that, and I'm sure you guys can do an evaluation of your own lives and see how many of you can still count people in your circle that who are on the left that are your friends and you've not done anything to drive them away. It amazes me. And this is how the left has always been. And now they're going through this existential crisis, having lost last week. But like when we moved from St. Louis to Texas, we had a group of friends who, the moment that I started getting involved in gun right advocacy nationally, oh my gosh, it was a 180, making up stories to the press, trying to trash, you know, my family, trying to go at my kids, people that I knew, people that we'd been in business with, people that who were avowed leftists. I mean, some of these people had some pretty unsavory family connections of their own, just got to say. I never used any of that against them. And I could. I could drag people for drug use and alcoholism and all kinds of stuff. And I never did that. Could. Never did. Because I was just like, what's the point? Oh, my gosh. But people making stuff out up. Like, I had somebody who was a friend who was like, oh, you know, I guess they thought, because I was a lot younger than these people. My husband's like 8 years older than me. And I was a lot younger than some of these people. And I guess I realized how sexist they were. And how misogynistic they were, because they looked at me as though I was younger. I was a vessel to fill, so to speak, and someone whose perspective needed to be shaped. And the quotes that they were giving to the press was, oh, well, she's so impressionable and she can be molded. And we thought that she, you know, could have been somebody who could have been an advocate for the left. That was actually a quote someone who I considered a friend gave to the press because they were fame whores and they wanted attention. I've lived with this. To see this spread across the country makes me sad. How many families are going to be broken because Democrats are nuts? How many families are going to have split Thanksgiving dinners because someone is such an idiotic Marxist and so self-obsessed that they can't get over themselves enough to stop dehumanizing their family over political beliefs? What in the hell is wrong with you? You are jacked up. You have mental issues that go beyond politics. So for those people out there who are going through that, I'm sorry that you have to go through it. But you know what? You're better off without those people. They're trash. And if they don't love you because you're family and they can't accept you because of you just simply want to be left alone and believe in not paying an exorbitant amount of tax and want your guns and just want to, you know, otherwise live a happy life, then they're trash people and they don't deserve your presence at their crappy little table. And you go and you have your own Thanksgiving and your own Christmas celebrations with people who are going to better demonstrate the reason for the season with unconditional love. We have more to come.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Hey, Oprah, good morning. How are you, darling?
Oh, boy.
You're looking very good. How do you think the election went?
Not talking about the election. Thank you very much.
Oh, is it true that they paid you $1 million for the endorsement for Kamala?
Not true.
Not true, okay.
I was paid nothing, ever.
What do you think about all the celebrities with their mass exodus?
I'm not talking about that.
Do you think Prince Harry's going to lose his visa now that Trump's president?
I love it.
Thank you, Oprah.
She got totally paid. By the way, can I just remark on the very nice Aussie accent? They sound so cheerful. And you know, they're like, even if they're going to fight you, they're like, yeah, I'm going to stab you right now. All right, mate. you're like, okay. But I loved the questioning. She totally got paid. Why are they doing this? Why are they going on this line that, oh no, Oprah didn't get paid? Well, that's not true. They're actually going to die on that? They're going to say that didn't happen? There are actual receipts. Herpo Productions got two separate payments totaling $1 million. And they're trying to say that the Washington Examiner had a piece where they had asked Oprah about it and they were disputing it to the Washington Examiner, saying, no, 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 that's not true. But $1 million went to her Harpo Productions. And then she showed up. That's how a lot of this goes. They'll pay through a third party and then the third party pays the person. So that way, because of the public filings, so the campaign's name doesn't appear it doesn't appear like they're paying directly the person. So that's stupid. They're like, no, she wasn't paid a personal campaign. You're really going to do that? Because we know that that's absolutely garbage. We know that she got paid. They got paid. But what they're trying to say is that, oh, well, Oprah, she didn't get a personal fee. It was $1 million to Harpo. A friend of mine goes, they really want to say that Oprah did not personally accept a bag of money with a dollar symbol on it? Really? Is that what you're going to argue? I mean, here's, like, it's Scrooge McDuck money bags, right? Here's your Scrooge McDuck money bag full of gold bullions. Like, that's not how she got paid $1 million. You can't, it's in the public file. It went to Harpo, which is Oprah backwards. Stop it. All right, coming up, we're going to have more of we still have cabinet picks to discuss. We also have Senate. We've got the left meltdown. Senator Mike Lee is hosting a listening forum with all of the three candidates for Senate Majority Leader this evening. And he asked last night, well, what questions would you have me ask? And I gave some suggestions. We'll talk about all of that and that 80,000 pound butter thing, because it's the dumbest story you'll hear today. Stay with us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this third hour on this Thursday, and Thanksgiving, aka Turkey Day, aka Day of Thanks, aka it's me doing a turkey. You want to hear it again? It's totally what they sound like. I bet some hunter like was like, I heard a turkey just then, right? It sounded legit. Oh, make sure. I'm somewhat joking. You can also find us over at Substack if you're not watching on Channel 347 DirecTV. You can also listen terrestrially. Do you know that Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are doing a Dogecast for the Department of Government Efficiency? Okay. Is this going to, like, are we going to get the nitty gritty of people crying when you cut them? I mean, like their positions from government? Because I'm all for that, right? They're going to be, Doge is so mean. It's so mean. I saw this headline over at the Babylon Bee, and it's actually not that wrong. It says, before Doge cuts funding, NIH is working feverishly to complete study on the effects of giving meth to jetpack-wearing hamsters. And now all the scientists at NIH were like, damn it, we didn't think of giving them jetpacks. I love it. That's so great. But still, though, this is their man. Deep state is not going to like them. The bureaucratic mess is not going to like these guys. They're not going to be fans of them at all because they're talking about cutting legit everything. I'm here for that. They said they're going to defund they need to defund it. Some of what they said, they have an op-ed over at the Wall Street Journal. You got it in your prep. If you're a subscriber to Chapter and Verse, you get the radio prep that I send out every day, and you have the op-ed in there. It's very insightful because they said that it kind of gives me Wolf's vibes, you know, that George Clooney, Brad Pitt. But they said they want to cut it down to size. They're doing things differently. As entrepreneurs, not politicians. And so they're calling for reductions, commensurate with the reductions in rules and regulations. They're looking at everything from PBS to Planned Parenthood. They said that they're going to end federal overspending. They're going to look at the $500 billion plus in annual federal expenditures Congress authorizes, $535 million a year to, again, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, $1.5 billion for grants to for international organizations, $300 million to groups like Planned Parenthood. I mean, if they actually are able to make this happen. Now, here's the catch, because I've talked about the Planned Parenthood defunding. They got $670 million from the government last year. Planned Parenthood did. Yeah, that's your tax dollars that are going towards, and then they fund Democrats. So your tax dollars are funding Democrats. It's wild, but that's what they're doing. So this this caveat to all of this is that it is DOGE is an entity that it is outside of the government, so they don't need to go through Senate confirmation or anything like that. It's outside of the government, but they can make these recommendations. They make these recommendations. Congress is going to have to adopt them. And this is why it's incredibly important to maintain as large of a majority in the House as possible. And these special elections take time. So for the House seats, when you're pulling from the House for the cabinet, it takes time. So that's why you don't want to kneecap it right out of the gate. You know, you want to make sure that you have these positions full, these seats occupied, so that you can get this your agenda through as quickly as possible. So that's actually a very interesting approach. Now, however quickly Congress wants to take this up, I mean, that's what remains to be seen. If they're able to get Congress to take this up and you actually get these cuts passed through and Trump to sign it, that's wild. That's wild. Because they're going to have to, it's going to be an audit. It's going to be an audit, and then they have to make these recommendations. And they're not taking checks, and they want to be done by the 26th. By or before July 26th. So these are all good things. I'm fine with us. These are great. So that's a good start. Very good start. Now, a couple of other things. I have to tell you this story because I am just blown away by this. And then we're going to get into some of this other stuff. Do you guys remember this story about the art festival that takes place in Miami? It's called Art Basel. Basel in Miami. So back in 2019, there was this, I don't know if you want to call it artwork. Is it artwork or performance? I don't know. This dude duct taped a banana to just a plain white wall of the museum. And it sold for 6 point something million at auction. It sold yesterday at auction. So the art installation, so to speak, was just a banana duct taped to a wall. And Maurizio Catalan's comedian is what they called it. A banana stuck to the wall with a strip of silver duct tape. And it, they thought it was going to sell when it went to auction. It debuted at Art Basel, Miami in 2019, and they thought it was going to sell for $1.5 million, according to Sotheby's. I don't know. I can draw better than the banana up taped to a wall. And it doesn't even have to be the same banana. Listen to this. This is how they describe it over at Sotheby's. Ready? Okay. There you see. No other artwork from the 21st century has provoked scandal, sparked imagination, and upended the very definition of contemporary art, like Maurizio Catalan's Comedian, whose debut at Art Basel Miami Beach in December 2019 captivated the world. Now, with an estimate of $1 to $1.5 million, this viral sensation is making history once again as it heads to auction at Sotheby's Now and Contemporary Evening Sale. Would you like to know about your potential purchase? It is comprised of a banana fastened to a wall with duct tape, hung exactly 160 centimeters from the floor. Comedian belongs to the rare league of artworks that need no introduction. Yeah, I think they do. Oh my gosh. You know why it's controversial? Because it's stupid. And they can sit here and ascribe all these things to it. Oh, it's sardonic. It's this or that. It's money laundering. It's money laundering. Absolutely. That's what this is. So it didn't sell for $1.5 million. This thing sold for $6.24 million. So how do you know it's... What are you buying when you buy it? Couldn't you just get your own duct tape and tape your own banana to the wall in your own home? How would anyone know that it's not Maurizio Catalan's comedian? Right?
True.
He didn't... It's like a literal banana. An actual real banana and just some duct tape.
One that will go bad.
Well, yeah, they got to keep replacing it. Why couldn't you just do this in your own house? Because think of it. The components to the piece are already there. There's no way that the banana is affixed to the wall. There's no way in which the duct tape is applied that changes any kind of movement or mood to the piece. None at all whatsoever. In fact, even where it's located makes it entirely arbitrary as to how it's to be viewed because it's on a white wall in a brightly lit museum. What if it's in your home on your wall and you have all the other different, you know, mood lighting? Then it changes, right? Does it not change? It becomes more ludicrous, I think, even in that context. So this is dumb. This is so dumb. If you want to give someone a great gift and you can tell them that it's a replica of a $6.5 million, you know, almost $1 million piece of art, you can say this is a replica of Maurizio Catalan's comedian and just give someone, guys, this is your naughty Santa gift right here. I'm helping you all out. All y'all that go to these Christmas parties and you guys do these goofy gifts, we do them in our family. You get a banana and you get some silver duct tape and you can be like, no, this is a replica of a $6.24 million piece of art by Maurizio Catalan called Comedian. And literally just do it. Get a piece of like a styrofoam board and tape it to the styrofoam board, an actual banana with duct tape. And then just like put a little label and like glue it in the corner. Look, I got your naughty Santa gift for you right there. It actually does work. It's a piece of art, right? It's expensive.
Is it White Elephant or Naughty Santa?
I don't know. We've only ever done Naughty Santa.
I don't think Naughty Santa's the thing.
Yeah, that's like the Naughty Santa game.
Okay.
Why?
I'm just saying.
Isn't that what it's called?
I'm just speaking out loud.
What is it called?
I thought it was like a White Elephant type.
I don't understand what that is. It's like there are no white elephants. They're all gray.
Just like there's no real art that involves a real banana.
What does this piece evoke in you? What are your thoughts when you look at this piece? Banana pudding and morons. That's what I think.
Smoothie ingredient.
How is this not money laundering? And also, Hunter's probably going, damn it. Hunter Biden's out there just kicking himself that he didn't tape some fruit to a wall.
Please tell me you
He's
read.
Like real man.
Please tell me you read the follow-up that in the reply that NBC Story put under it in their words. Please tell me you saw that.
Oh, that's next. So wait a
minute. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you jumped the gun. Sorry.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm glad you reminded me of that because I was getting ahead of myself. I'm glad you brought that up. So here we go. So the guy who bought it, his name is Justin Sun. He's a cryptocurrency investor.
No.
What?
No.
Everything just screams money laundering. He spent $6.2 million on a regular banana duct taped to the wall, right? You could say that the artwork is appealing. I hate myself now. So what does this do to the price of bananas, by the way?
Oh, man.
Right? Anyway, so he bought it. And it's, again, Maurizio Catalan's comedian. He battled six other morons to launder their money through this banana tape to a wall thing. And he paid in crypto, of course. And he said, quote, "In the coming days, I will personally eat the banana as part of this unique autistic experience."
Autistic?
He is going to eat the banana. He's going to eat it. What in the world? I don't know, man. So he's going to eat it. He's spending all that money. He's laundering.
So what we get for $1, $1.20.
So what if I can make you a banana duct tape to the wall and only charge you $2 million for it?
That sounds like a deal.
I'm saying it's the exact same thing, the exact same tape, the exact same nanner.
Yeah.
Right? And I was looking at this is how lazy this is. Because obviously they have to change the banana out, right? In some of these installations, because they got the banana rots and it's just nasty. The stem of the banana is cut differently. Sometimes it's a slanted cut. Sometimes it's cut straight across, like the image that Juan is showing on the simulcast. That's not even consistent. They're not even being consistent in the stem or even the angle of the tape. It's literally just half-assed taping fruit to a wall. I hate everything. But this is money laundering because there's no other reason. There's no other reason for this. This is why I hate modern art. I really do. I reject modernity, embrace tradition. I hate modern art. All right, we got to move.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Crews are working to remove profane traffic signs. They're working hard, says News 9. The city's transportation, what city is this? Boulder. The transportation staff for the city of Boulder, they were dispatched to city streets on a very special mission Tuesday afternoon to remove illegally posted traffic signs in four locations. The signs use some choice words for drivers, asking them to put their cell phones down, avoid distracted driving, and obey the posted speed limit. The signs are interesting. They say things like, speed limit's 35, get off your damn phone. That's what they say, the signs. Speed limit 45, don't kill any kids today. They said they were aware of these illegal signs at a number of locations. I actually don't find anything wrong with these signs, Kane. You know, I mean, they message the urgency of driving the speed limit and putting down one's phone.
I agree.
That's what they said. They said a lot of work went into installing the signs, so putting them up is just as tedious as taking them down. They hope that someone spots the suspect and can call the police. Apparently, it's called criminal tampering. It's an actual incident, a legal thing. Is there really anything wrong with it? I don't know. I don't think there is. They're not saying anything. They're actually underlining the law that's posted. Look at that. Nearly 180 pounds of illegally harvested mushrooms were seized by Washington Fish and Wildlife. How is it illegally harvested? Well, see, you picked it leaning over your right side, and you got to pick it leaning over your left side. That's what you got to do. 5 gallons of wild edible mushroom. Oh, you got to have a permit. The forest has to give you a permit to go and pick its mushrooms. Landowner permission is required to possess smaller quantities. I'm coming back to the story because this is so stupid. This is literally, it's one thing if you're trespassing, but I don't think that's what this was. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this second hour. Did you guys see I've seen this type of stuff before where it's usually the FBI or to be, I remember this was back in, 2009, you had, the Missouri Highway Patrol had used this. It's extremist phrases. This is the FBI's militia violent extremism. And it's some sayings, etc., or whatever. And it's at FBI.gov. Oh, no, I don't want it downloaded. I didn't want that. I just wanted to open it in a PDF, not to download it, you fruitcakes. So they have this thing that they call terrorism. They have terrorism definitions. They have defined by the FBI and DHS. They have these phrases, things like that symbols guide. And they have militia violent extremism. And it's not a new thing, but this is new in that it's updated, if that makes sense to you. So it's updated, and it gets into their strategic intelligence, blah, 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 if you believe it's intelligent. It gets into all of that stuff, and it talks about terminology used and things like that, and it has some examples in it. But it gets into threat overview, militia, violent extremists, etc., 3%ers, and they said that, for instance, some people use the term boogaloo, which references a violent uprising or impending civil war. I like SMOD, fiery boogaloo. The term is, I love when feds who set up the entrapment of Whitmer and they were there at J6 and all this other stuff. I love when the feds try to make these observances. They say, oh yes, the term boogaloo really resonates with militia violent extremists, MVEs, who have adopted it. To use it, and they said following perceived incursions on constitutional rights, including the Second Amendment, they get into targets and tactics and I swear, I think they mentioned memes in here. I wouldn't doubt it. They also touch on key terms, right? So key terms that are used. And so you got Boogaloo. Second Amendment is apparently a term that is a key term for militia violent extremists. So it has Second Amendment, or 2A, refers to Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. That's a, they said MVEs and others within the militia movement often reference and interpret it to justify private militia activities in their opposition to gun laws. You know, you can have a private militia and a private and do private militia activities already, right? Right? That's what is this nonsense? It gets into Agenda 21, Boogaloo, bug out, false flag, FEMA camps, field training exercise. Who made this list up? Which Fed FUD made up this list? I mean, I use all of these words. Am I a militia violent extremist because I use words like Boogaloo, bug out, false flag, field training exercise, or Second Amendment? I use Second Amendment 2A all the time. So if you cite a constitutional right, that makes you a violent extremist.
That's what it looks like.
It looks like that, right? But none of the people who ever talk about taking those rights are ever considered to be violent extremists. That's kind of interesting. No, it's not. It's not a new thing, but it is updated. So this thing is it's an updated list. I was just looking at this, and I'm just like, I can't believe. Oh, they call like a Buja Dahin, Big Igloo, Big Luau, Boog Boys. All these terms. They literally have those are great terms, by the way. Buja Dahin, that's hysterical. And other associated wordplay, in addition to imagery like igloos, Hawaiian shirts, and leis, are used as coded references to the larger Boogaloo phenomenon on and offline. This is a serious government document. Because some people use the term jokingly, and RMVEs. Wait, what's the RMVE? We have the militia violent extremists. What's the R? I don't know. Who advocate. They talk about racism, etc. So basically, anybody who uses the term Boogaloo, they're trying to say is a racist. Bug out. A phrase used by MVEs and non-extremist preppers to reference emergency contingency planning, usually involving weapons, supplies, evacuation procedures, and rendezvous locations. Yeah. And? This is moronic. Absolutely moronic. But this is what, this is what they're, this is literally what their our government is doing. Thoughts, Kane?
Did you elect them to do this?
Mm-mm.
The FBI? I didn't elect anybody in the FBI.
Yeah. What about Mullen Labe? Is that still a thing that they, I'm shocked that's not in there yet.
Is the come and take it or don't tread on me? Is that also?
Someone made the point. So if you like the movie Killdozer, does that mean that you get added to the anti-Boogaloo department? The list? I'm just curious.
What? Boogaloo? It just makes it not serious to me.
It makes me want to say it more.
It's like an 80s breakdance movie. Not interested.
Yeah, it makes me want to say it more. I mean, hell, wait until they find out about Skibbity Toilet, dude.
Don't open that can of worms.
Wait until they find out about Skibbity Toilet. Wait. We just got on list just then.
Yep.
Well, we're going to bug out to the Skibbity Toilet Boogaloo.
We're on it.
Oh, we're on list. Making it all the list. This is what our government is doing. Meanwhile, at the border, it's all chaos. But up in the important people departments. So asinine. Now you see why. We're going to have Jim. When is Jim Jordan on? He's on this week with us. Tomorrow. We got Jim Jordan who's going to be coming up with us tomorrow. Because, you know, Zuckerberg was... he had testified before members of Congress, and then now he's admitted. He's admitted that, you know, speaking of government lists and government cooperation and all this other stuff, he's actually admitted that, yes, they did work with the Biden administration to suppress speech and to throttle dissent. They said that, according to House Judiciary, he admitted to working with the administration to pressure Facebook to censor Americans and throttling the, which we knew. I mean, but what's the, okay, so here's the thing. What did we get from this? Okay, so he admitted that he did it, and we all knew he did it. Well, what do we get from it? He did it. We know he did it. What do we get out of it? That's what I'd like to know. What penalty is going to exist to prevent anybody else from doing this again to Americans? I mean, good grief. They say it's a big win for free speech. Well, we all knew this. The big win for free speech is to stop it from happening again. I mean, that's the big win from this. I don't know. The whole thing is just asinine. That it was done in the first place, but also that I think that some, like Jim Jordan and others, have the will to do something. I just don't know practically, realistically, what they can or would do. So this could technically still happen again. Hell, maybe it still is. You don't know. Honestly, I think he's seen some of this. I will say Facebook never went as far as some of these others, but it still went pretty far. It doesn't collaborate with China, and it won't work with China, which is why China has its own version of Facebook. But they still went pretty far. I mean, let's be real with it. He said he regretted working with them to censor. They published a letter that he had sent, and he said that he didn't even really want to be political. I mean, really, he wants to kind of be neutral on everything, which I don't think anyone's ever really neutral. But he had said that in a separate situation, the FBI had warned us about a potential Russian disinformation operation, et cetera, et cetera. And then when we saw the New York Post story reporting on corruption, we sent that to fact checkers and temporarily demoted it while waiting for a reply. Since it's been made clear the reporting was not Russian disinformation, and he said we should not have demoted the story in retrospect. And that they're changing their policies and processes to make sure it doesn't happen again. And that they will no longer demote things while waiting for fact checkers. They shouldn't have done that in the first place anyway. They shouldn't have demoted anything. And he says that he regrets, that he, you know, is regretful of it. Well, I don't know what to make of it. And what's to come of it? Right? What is to come of it? Kane, what's to come of it?
I mean, hopefully, guys like Zuck, people that are in charge of these social media platforms, will stop actually acquiescing to the government on these things. Hopefully, until we get something legislatively that prevents the government from doing it. Oh, we already do, by the way. It's called a constitution. It's the constitution. The government cannot suppress your speech in any way. It's just literally already law, but somehow we have to clarify it.
Right. And what impact on Missouri v. Biden? Because that was the big suit. What impact on Missouri v. Biden? I think that's an important discovery. So we'll follow all of this. Coming up, we got some Florida man. We're also, let me just tell you what we have coming up. Secret Service. Some people are asking, are you guys covering information related to this assassination attempt? We've got that. Also, Jill and Joe, now because they're all at the beach. There's on video Secret Service agents shoving everybody out of the way as they continue their endless vacation. They were there was video of her, of Jill and Ashley shopping, and when they were in California and they had local police protection. Remember when Jill was describing like how much power she felt as they were clearing freeways for her? So Secret Service shoving, literally a guy shoved somebody out of the way as they're out shopping. So we're just this interesting Secret Service stuff. We're going to get into that. We're also going to get into some trades, some EVs. We were talking a little bit about tech. We're also going to get into culture. Star Wars Acolyte, they're reacting to cancellation. Nobody watched it because it was trash. And now the same thing could happen to the Amazon Prime series, Lord of the Rings, because they're making Galadriel like in it with Saruman. They're trying to, it's just weird.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So a Florida man was on probation for drug trafficking, and he looks like Santa. or a really just unkempt Kenny Rogers. I can't tell. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to believe this guy's 63, Kane.
I know.
Volusia County. He was taken into custody. He was arrested for armed trafficking of fentanyl and meth. Oh. And then he got arrested again on similar charges. He's 63 years old, this guy, supposedly. 63 years old. Cecil McCoy. Are you sure he's in Florida? That sounds like he's Kentucky.
Right.
Cecil McCoy. Took him into custody, Circle K in Deltona. He was busted. He had he had fentanyl on him when they took him into custody, enough to kill lots of people. And then he also had 85 grams of meth. And he did say all of it's mine. So, I mean, he was honest about it. But still, good heavens. I just, go find an honest line of work. You know, I mean, you can find, I realize maybe it's not the job that you want, but there's some honest line of work out there that you can have. Just saying. Let's see. Got a couple of other. Oh boy. Nope. No, I'm not doing this one about. Nope. Not doing that one. Well, we got the guy who, Florida man from Key West, he attacked a man holding a sign that displayed a Bible verse. So this is Stock Island, Florida. This guy's supposed to be 50. I'm supposed to believe that this guy's 50 years old. Again, also don't believe these ages. Meth kills, dude. Meth kills in ages. So this guy, let's see here. 50-year-old man from Key West arrested. He attacked a guy who was holding a John 3:16 sign. Just this innocent guy. But the guy who was arrested looks like the bad guy from the original Twin Peaks.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He has his hair and everything.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like Bob from Twin Peaks.
He does.
Completely. The guy's name is Jose Jerome Hernandez. He attacked the 37-year-old victim. The guy was just holding a John 3:16 sign. That's all it was. So, yeah, there's that. But the thing that really stuck out to me is that he looks like Bob from Twin Peaks, the original Twin Peaks. Let's see, not going to do this one either. Nope, nope, nope. There's some that are really bad that I don't. Well, this is a guy who is recording people in the bathroom. He was a Central Florida deputy. Surprises his name wasn't Scott Israel, who was arrested for video voyeurism. It was in Tampa. This guy, his name is Justin D. Bias, and he was a deputy in the DUI unit and illegally recording victims in the bathroom of his residence. Did he have a lot of people over to his house that he would, who does this? This is some Blueberry Hill stuff. Stop that. Sorry. Only Kane is going to get that reference, right?
Yes.
When was that in the 90s?
It's a St. Louis thing.
Yeah, it's a St. Louis thing. It had to do with Chuck Berry and all that. It was a big, bad deal. I remember being a kid hearing about that, and I was like, ooh. So this guy was charged with video voyeurism. Southwest Florida man was arrested for stealing an antique slot machine.
Really?
Out of all the things to steal, why that one? 31-year-old Andre Vasquez was caught on camera breaking into an Arcadia truck stop. He stole the slot machine, and then deputies initiated a foot chase after he fled. He was apprehended after hiding in a nearby backyard. He had bullet cutters, a backpack, and a gun. He was a prohibited possessor. They got the stolen slot machine. It was an antique slot machine. I don't know what he thought he was going to get out of it. Did he think it had money? Did he know it was
antique? I think the antique ones had those silver dollars in them still.
They
were still using.
They were still in there, though?
I don't know. Maybe.
That's kind of dumb. I mean, they're not still going to be in there. Good heavens. It's not. Let's see here. We also have. Oh, I had this one. The guy from the other day. My favorite story still remains the pizzeria guy. Florida man was a little bit quiet this weekend, I have to say. They also had these poachers that stole 800 pounds of berries. They were arrested in Hillsborough County. Palmetto poachers is what they called them. 2 months after new regulation, harsher penalties for saw palmetto poachers. These two individuals, Helidio Hernandez and Maria Hernandez Santiago, they stole 800 pounds. Apparently these berries can sell for 75 cents a pound. You can get up to $3.50 a pound. That's crazy. Stick with us. We got more in store.
I'm on Ahliyati.
So this is that
أظن أنني سرحت في وسائل الإعلام من قبل
and he's suing the internet. He's super ticked, and he's suing the internet because he's mad. He's suing specifically Elon Musk. He's suing him and JK. I'm never going to stop that. And also JK Rowling and X and all this other. He's suing all these people because I guess his feelings got hurt over people, you know, questioning the fact that he's an actual dude with XY chromosomes. And that causes your body to do different things because of those chromosomes, by the way. And so this his name is Emain Khalif, and he's named, goodness, Musk, Rowling, all kinds of stuff, this Algerian boxer, in a lawsuit. And it was filed to French authorities over alleged acts of aggravated cyber harassment. That takes some balls, I'm telling you. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this first hour. Or second hour. Top of this second hour. The dude, he says he's it's part of his fight for justice, dignity, and honor. And it was filed against unknown persons per French law. I'm reading the criminal complaint posted to the Anti-Online Hatred Center of the Public Prosecutor's Office last week. And they said that the prosecution has the latitude to be able to investigate against all people, including those who shared hateful messages. And then they said that apparently Trump would also be part of this investigation. Repercussions, I'm reading the French law, for cyberbullying offenses. So you could go to jail for like 2 to 5 years, fines anywhere from 26,000 to 39,000 pounds. And it, but if it's prosecuted as, so you have cyberbullying and then you have hate speech. So if it's elevated and you can prosecute it as online hate speech, then they could, you could fine people 64,000 to 214,000 pounds. It's a dude. I mean, he's a dude. And they were looking, this guy took home the gold medal in the women's boxing. He's 25 years old. He's like, he has XY chromosomes. Here's the difference. The boxing league that he was disqualified from competing in previously because of his XY chromosomes, the Olympics allowed for him to compete based on just what is on his passport. So the Olympics does not look at anything other than what you write, what you claim on a document. Whereas the other leagues actually do the testing. So that's like one of the big things. And the IOC is like, no, this is what's on their passport. Not kidding you. So he's suing. And he also, one of the things was cited. So you know how there's the account that has Trump that posts on Truth Social, and then he can, and then people will take that and repost it on Twitter. He had said at one point, I will keep men out of women's sports. And that was put into, I guess that was like cited as one of the, why they may go after it. That's nuts, no pun intended. But they've been, that's not going to work over here. One of the things with the U.S. law in layman's terms is if it's legal here, foreign law is not going to supersede our own national law. So if it's free speech here, there's no way, there's not going to be any kind of cooperation with anything like that. That's actual law. But what gets me, and this guy, again, XY chromosomes, which allow the body to do certain, it triggers the body to produce certain things, to do certain things, to be different, genetically different, etc. So, dude, you can sit here, I'm not going to argue with it. I'm not going to argue with people about it. And that's what counts. The muscle mass, the bone density, the full force of that as dictated by the XY chromosomes. That's the blueprint. And so this craziness, by the way, has extended, let me pull this up, to the Paralympics. Headline, a blind runner who won 11 national titles as a man is going to compete as a woman in the Paralympics. Okay, so again, it is a man who is 50 years old. He calls himself Valentina Petrillo. He's an Italian sprinter. He will, later this month, be the first openly trans athlete to compete in the Paralympics. Again, 50 years old. And he just now recently started identifying as a woman. He won 11 titles in 2019 as a man. He took bronze in the women's 200 and 400 meters at the Para-Athletic World Championships last summer. He looks like a man. He's not blind. He's visually impaired. So it doesn't mean that he can't, you know, that he's not totally blind from what the New York Post suggests. And it's not against the rules. It is not against the rules. He's the International Paralympic Committee, per the Post, allows each sport's governing body to set their own rules. So each athletic discipline gets to set its own rules. And they're actually, and the people who do the his discipline, he's a sprinter, they're fine with him running against other. I mean, he is huge. When he there's a photo of him with the other female sprinters, and he's huge. He went through puberty as a man. He has been competing as a man his whole life. If he were to be a woman and suddenly walk onto the track with the level of testosterone and everything else that he has, then he would be accused of doping and he would be disqualified. It's gotten so far out of control. This is unbelievable. And then, wait, there's more. So there's a transgender golfer who got mad and decided to insult his biological female rivals who complained about him competing with women. The guy's name is Haley Davidson. He's a transgender golfer who, per Daily Mail, hit out at female athletes who complained about his success. He was banned from competing in the NXXT golf tournaments earlier this year. And he said on Instagram, quote, "I will never understand athletes who blame a transgender competitor on their own athletic failures. If you don't take accountability for your failures, then you will never actually be good enough to make it." Davidson was born in Scotland. He's been trying to qualify for the LPGA. They have an inclusion policy. So if you undergo a surgery after male puberty, then you're in. But you can go through puberty and get the advantages of all that. The LPGA Tour removed its requirement for golfers to be female at birth. This is out of control. Absolutely out of control. These men are treating the women's sports as JV leagues. I mean, this is just wild. I mean, and of course, you know, he's wiping the floor with all of, you know, he's a man. So he's winning all these titles. Of course he is. And then if you disagree with any of this, then you're a cyberbully. Do you see how they're trying to leverage the legal system to silence women? I don't ever want to hear any of these people complain against Sharia, ever. I don't ever want to hear, feminism is dead. Long live the new feminism. That's what this is. The new feminism isn't feminine anymore. And they've helped kill it. They've absolutely helped kill it. And this is crazy. And we, like with the cyberbullying lawsuit from this male boxer, I mean, we say things like, oh, well, you know, that couldn't happen here. Yeah, it could. I mean, people have already been fined. I mean, in some states, they're trying to make it a misdemeanor if you choose to not forfeit your free speech and you don't use whatever pronouns. I mean, this is where we're at. It's just unbelievable. And even in the Paralympics. I mean, I think that it's a mental illness, but I don't think it should be. I think it should not be not treated that way in the Paralympics. Good heavens. I have a couple of other things, too, I want to hit here as we roll towards. We got, let me pull this up. So the We got audio of this. Biden spoke. This is audio soundbite. Oh, boy. Okay. He starts randomly screaming last night. Let's just play it. Audio soundbite two. I can't really set it up because I don't know what he was. I really don't understand where he's going with this. He starts talking about Xi Jinping and then Tibet, and then he just is screaming. Go ahead. Let's roll the tape.
I spent a lot of time with Xi Jinping, and I was they tape everything we say. I spent over 80 hours with him alone over 17,000 miles in China. And they were in Tibet, near Tibet. And he asked me, can I define America for him? And this is a true story. I said, yes, in one word, possibilities.
Freedom.
We believe anything is possible in America. Anything we set our mind to is possible. We are the land of possibilities.
The land of freedom, you half-wit. And he starts screaming. Do you know why I dislike how he says possibilities? Because that's so loaded. When he says possibilities, it's laced with intimation that it has to be provided to you, the possibility, by the state. Because that's what they've been promoting with equity, right? You have to facilitate, you have to pay for, you have to micromanage the possibility. And if it doesn't grow into achievement, then you are owed it and you were robbed somehow, regardless of your own free will and choices. I can't believe you just didn't say freedom, right? Not possibility, freedom. He says he confirmed that there was a coup against him, and he said he feels pushed out and betrayed. Now, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but now there's this new report. It's over at Politico. And they're saying, yeah, the coup took place in this piece. Biden harbors lingering frustration at Pelosi, Obama, and Schumer. So there's a lot of tension here. Politico notes this. They said Biden is frustrated that Obama wouldn't tell him to his face that he should leave the race. He's angry with Nancy Pelosi, views her as ruthless for ushering him out the door, and he's miffed at the role that Schumer played also. What did you think you were getting into? We have more on this. A quick note, too. Somebody emailed and they said, you should be staring at the camera more, or looking at the camera more. I want to remind everyone, this is a radio program and I don't have a teleprompter. So any of the information that I'm giving to you, nothing is scripted on the show. You can't see it, but I have a 4.5-foot screen that runs the entirety of this. And Juan's showing you, this is what I am looking at. So this isn't like Fox or CNN or MSNBC or whatever, where I'm looking and I got a teleprompter with all my information neatly for me to read on my screen in front of me. It is a blank black screen and it's totally off the cuff. So all my information is down here. So I look up when I can, but I'm not going to sit here and gaze into everyone's eyes on the camera. Not because I don't love you, but because you want it, you're watching for information, and all my information is here because it's a radio program that is simulcast. So I want to remind people of this because I think from time to time, I think they forget that I have this giant monitor down here for a reason. So it's because I have everything. You would fall over if you saw everything that I had on the screen. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 tabs in one window just alone, 2 on another. All of my bookmarks, everything that I can quickly access because we're hanging out and we're talking, right? Is all right here in front of me. So that is why you just can't see it when you're looking straight on like this.
And now all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So per The Hill, a Wyoming reporter was caught using artificial intelligence to create fake quotes and stories. What's new? They made up quotes from the governor and a local prosecutor. It was, wow, the dead giveaway, though, was a reporter from a competing news outlet. He came across all of this AI stuff in this newspaper, and it's the Cody Enterprise. This is crazy. Yeah, they just, you know, we're making up all kinds of stuff. Also, leave Bucky's alone. The Bucky's beaver mascot rope is responsible for a man's fall, according to a lawsuit. This in Florence, South Carolina, he tripped over a rope holding down the large inflatable beaver mascot and is suing the company for injuries he sustained. You know, you could also look where you're walking, too. That's very important. And I have more. AI model 98% accurate in detecting diseases just by looking at your tongue. This is some of the stuff that we're getting from AI. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
I got infected about 2 weeks ago. It was my third infection, and I had been vaccinated and boosted a total of 6 times.
I was vaccinated and boosted a total of 70,000 times. So I guess it's not working then, right? Yeah. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of the third hour. That's Fauci, if you were watching the simulcast, which you can view, channel 347, DirecTV, also on X, and over at Rumble, where we have the discussion. And people interact with each other. And McGroin Nation rated the stream, which is a fun thing that people do. It actually seems really fun. And sometimes I'm like, let's just go to the stream. Let's just like hang out. We got news we got to tell you about. I had to play this audio. I had to play the video for you. He's been, guys, he's, how many times did he say he was vaccine boosted?
Six. So that's right, 6 times.
I've had 6 vaxes and boosts. At some point, wouldn't it work? How many times were you vaccinated? 6 times. And yet you still got the thing. Uh-huh. So,
3 times.
Yeah, 3 times. So would that suggest that you maybe were not inoculated against the virus that you got the shot to not get?
Ooh, but imagine how bad it would have been if he never got any shots.
Yeah.
Ooh, man.
He would have, what would have happened? Not
his
a damn thing.
Legs would have fallen off or something.
My arm would have fallen off and morphed into its own super being. That's what would have happened. He would have turned into an orc. You know, it's just wild. It's so wild. And then he wonders why people don't trust. And keep in mind, this is what this Tim Walz guy wanted everybody to do. He wanted everybody to have to take all this stuff and to do. You couldn't leave your house. I love the people, by the way. I love, and you're going to hear this so much going into the election year. They talk about, oh, voter ID is racist. To have an ID to go vote is so racist. Wait a minute. You're literally the same people that demanded to show a vax card that you needed an ID to get. And then it told your whole health history just to go eat at a damn pizza shop, go into a restaurant and eat. You had to show that. I didn't even go to New York. I can't tell you. Okay, so I'm going to tell you. Remember this conversation? So during all of this that was happening, like there are certain networks I couldn't even go to because they required you to, I already had it naturally, but you know, we're pretending to not like science. And so they wouldn't even like allow me in the door because I couldn't open my booklet and show that I had the Fauci shot, the Fauci ouchie. So there was at one point where I was told that somebody in New York, they wanted to have a meeting and can I go up for a meeting? And this is at the time when things are barely reopening. And Kane, remember you had to get, you had to show your little card and your little shot thingy just to get a cab and things like that. Like crazy. I have friends who live and work in New York and they were telling me all this craziness. Like that's insane. There's no way in hell I'm going up there. No way. And then you couldn't even go into restaurants unless you showed that you had that. I couldn't have even gone. Hell, I probably couldn't even gotten access in the hotel. So I remember telling the Radio America guys, I was like, yeah, no, it's not going to happen. They're like, I'm sorry, what? I'm like, yeah, it's not going. It's New York. And they're making me show all this. I would have to prove that I've had. No. You know what? There's a crazy thing called the internet. And they can do Skypes and FaceTimes and all kinds of stuff. It's like I'm there. Right? It's like you're right there without having to be there. And without them having to worry about my little plebeian natural immunity. Imagine that. So the meeting never happened because I was like, I'm just not going to go and deal with all that. I don't like playing pretend. Okay. I would have been arrested every other second. There is no way. I have difficulty with normal, average, everyday tasks sometimes, not having an attitude. I can't even imagine having to go to New York City. Kane, you can't go into this cab. Can you show us, sir? Sir, can you show us your vax pass?
It's this middle finger right here.
Yeah, I got a vax pass. It's this right here. That's my vax pass. Yeah. Sorry, can we see that again? Yeah, we can see it. Uh-huh. You want it in your face, too? We're happy to give it to you.
I have 2 vax passes.
Yeah, I got 4 more of those where they come from. It's tasty. Want some? Can you imagine? It's sir, I'm sorry, you can't come in here unless you show us your vax pass. And then there were people who were printing out fake vax passes. And then they were getting charged with felonies because it's a government document. It's a special secret government document. You know how many people were going to like Mexico to vacation and Mexico's like, ah, whatever, come on in. It's the only time that like people are like, yeah, we love that. You don't have like this lax oversight. Yay. Or you have totally lax oversight. I didn't care. People were going down there buying fake passes. You don't know that, but they were. They were down in Mexico buying these fake vax passes, coming back up. Oh, yeah, we got it. Look at that. So dumb. And then now we find out all this time later. It was all just, you know. And in the meantime, then you got Tim Walz. Everybody forget my record. Let's not pay attention to the fact that I locked down my whole damn state over a fairy tale. Vote for me. I'm still mad about all this. I'm still mad about it. We lost friends over this. How terrifying was it, though? Think about it for a moment. Allow yourself to mentally go back to that time. How freaky was it that you knew so many people who were eager to comply? Right? So many were eager to comply. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. I'll never forget. I left. Yeah, they like the taste of boots. I went to one allergist and I left one of my allergists, the one I previously went to during lockdown, because they did the whole make sure you have your mask on. And whenever they had the signs for masks and the health, like the doctor's offices and that were like the last places that lifted that order. So I'd go in and I just out of spite, I would not wear my mask properly. I would literally wear it like crooked. Or I'd wear it where it's covering my neck, or it was like a pirate on one eye. I literally did that. And I would go in and I would just be like, I'm going to make you say something because this is so stupid. I was not like belligerent at all. Not at all. I just was like, I dare you. And I literally would go in with my face panty like across one eye like a pirate because I'm 12 perpetually. And they'd be like, Mom, you need to wear your mask. You need to hold your mask around. Bring it down. Fair fads.
You saw New York pass that mask ban.
Yeah. Now they don't want them because they're like, oh, we just made it easier for the people to rob. No, I got to wear this robber's mask now.
Now you need an actual religious or health exemption to have a mask. Not religious exemption to not have them. It's unbelievable.
They can't make up their minds. Oh, man, we just made it to where people can rob us and nobody knows who they are. What do you think was going to happen? Never forget that. Now, in the meantime, you got the Walz, the governor, and there's a video going around of people. It's squad cars going around, and they were shooting paintballs at people that were on their front porches, and people were saying it was because they were defying the stay-at-home lockdown order. It was actually the first time they decided to police after the George Floyd riots. That's what it was, the video that's going around. Remember, he waited 3 days, so everything was like hell on earth. He waited for 3 days before he did anything, and then finally he's like, wow, I guess they better get control over this because my whole major city is burning. And then they decided they were going to, the best way to do it, you know, not to, I guess they weren't worried about inflaming tensions, is to have the police walk through. And then just like, you know, they see you on your porch, get inside, paintball. That's crazy, right? That was crazy. They did that. That's on video. And then remember, audio sung by 21. Here's some flashback. Three Minneapolis police officers were testifying to the Minnesota Senate that Governor Tim Walz gave the order to let rioters burn the MPD 3rd Precinct. Remember the police station that was being, you saw it night after night. They kept attacking it. It was this one. Watch this.
During the riots, the officers were told they could not wear protective frog suits, but were still hit and injured with bottles, cement, and more. Sergeant Hedberg blamed state, city, and department leaders for the abandonment of the 3rd Precinct.
I heard the governor say, give it up. It wasn't directly to me, it was through a phone call. No, the governor says, give up the precinct. I mean, that's demoralizing for this whole state.
And the three described a demoralized police force with dozens of officers planning to retire or quit.
Mm-hmm.
Give up the precinct.
Give up the precinct, yep.
This coward.
I remember when that story hit Yeah, give up the precinct. It's just, you know, because remember this, this was the thought, and it was the Baltimore mayor. You saw this in Portland. There was this like general thought that if you just give the rioters, you know, like a little space, you know, a little safe space, you know, play space, a little safe play space, then it'll be okay. And that's not at all how that went. A couple of other things. You got the Democratic National Convention just over a week away. Did you see the Barack Obama summer book reading list?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Can I just read some of the things that Barack Obama had on his summer reading list?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So he had, There's Always This Year on Basketball and Ascension, James by Percival Everett, Reading Genesis by Marilynne Robinson, Headshot by Rita Bullwinkle, The Beautiful Day, Zach Williams.
What was that last one?
The Beautiful Day, Zach Williams.
No, just before that one.
Headshot by Rita Bullwinkle.
Interesting.
Yeah. It might be kind of weird for a summer reading list weeks after the former president and Republican nominee for president literally survives a headshot.
Right.
Huh. Kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Seriously? Dems the rules, though, right?
That's what it is.
Dems the damn rules. That's how that works. I mean, I guess that he just wants, I mean, just saying. So he actually had a book that was called Headshot on his list. Now, when Sarah Palin put purveyor's marks on a map, she was accused of.
Yep. Oh, and there were years and years of litigation that followed.
Mm-hmm.
Like actual in court.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I'm just, are we applying the same rules or is it D different? I'm just curious.
D different.
Just, yeah. Yeah, I thought that was very interesting that, Now, a couple of other things, too. The Secret Service has apologized for breaking into a salon to access the restroom for a Kamala Harris fundraiser. This was kind of a wild thing to see. There's video of it. They went into this Massachusetts salon. They shut it down. An agent covered her security camera with duct tape. They picked the lock of the salon so that they could use the bathroom for a 2-hour period. And then after that, they removed the tape from the security camera. And the woman said that the Secret Service agent was directing people to use her salon's bathroom without her authorization. And they were there for a Kamala Harris fundraiser. Now, the woman said, I knew that I needed to close my salon because they wanted all of the businesses right in this area to be closed. It's a Secret Service thing. But she did not anticipate that they were actually going to break into her salon and then use her bathroom and then allow everyone else to use it as the bathroom for their op for the entirety of the event without her permission. That's crazy. She said she felt violated. The business owner said she felt violated. It was on July 27th ahead of Harris's first in-person fundraiser. And it's the 413 Salon. The owner's Alicia Powers. Business Insider did an interview with her. She's in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And Secret Service came in. They were looking at the area ahead of it. They were advancing it. And Harris spoke at this performing arts space in the Colonial Theater. And she said that they had people in and out of here doing bomb suites. And she's like, I understand what they have to do due to the nature of the situation. She's telling Business Insider this. And she says, you know, it was a little chaotic. We just made the decision to close for that Saturday. She's a salon. That's a big business day for her, Saturday. Secret Service said that the agency's employees would not enter without permission. But then they had to admit, they taped over. It was 8:10. Secret Service agent had no pin on her lapel, taped the camera, and then picked the lock on the door. And she started picking the lock on the door and then noticed that the Ring camera was watching her. And that's when she pulled up a chair, got a chair from on the porch and taped over the camera, the Ring camera. And it's all on camera. The door was locked, but then there was another security camera inside of the building and it showed people entering over the course of 2 hours. And everybody was like going in, using her bathroom, you know, the whole time. And the salon security alarm rang the whole time. The security footage from the two cameras doesn't show. It showed that people were in and out, she said, for an hour and a half just using her bathroom. The alarms are going off. They used her counter with no permission. She said when they were done using the bathroom, they left her building completely unlocked. What in the hell is going on with Secret Service? They don't have the right to do that.
Biden actually did something that was impossible. Both sides hate him. You know, both sides. Yeah. That was a hard thing to do. Unification.
Unification. That was a hard thing to do. Yeah, they all hate him. Nobody likes him. That was Trump from his call yesterday with Elon. Elon Musk. I got to do it like Maduro does it. Elon Musk. This is too funny. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Make sure you go sign up for the newsletter, too, over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. In the meantime, today in Stupidity King, before I run out of time.
Good Lord. Looks like Harris Wall's spokesperson. I don't even know her name.
Harris Wall's spokesperson.
She's horrible. This is her claiming that Kamala's claim on the no tax on tips was her original idea. Listen to this. Sorry, Juan, that's seven.
She certainly, again, has many parts of President Biden's agenda that she helped pass, that she supports, but she's also going to be putting forward her own agenda. And that's something you heard her talk about when she talked about no taxes on tips in Nevada earlier.
No taxes on tips?
Yeah, it's like her thing. It's like she just realized her.
Just like Joe, she doesn't plagiarize. Yeah. She doesn't plagiarize at all.
It's like they can't come up with their own idea. It's too
Our
funny.
Media
all
is
right.
garbage.
That does it for us today. Make sure you go find us on Facebook and YouTube, like and subscribe. And we're halfway through the week, guys. We'll hit you up tomorrow, Wednesday. I'll be back behind the mic with you then. Take care.